Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
This morning I'm going to talk, I was a child. While we were born into this world, we were small babies. We could not walk, we couldn't crawl or anything. And then eventually at one point we tried to start crawling, and then eventually... When I was thinking about saying this, I thought about some of our grandkids and all here that trying. I remember them, one of them being at the step. As a matter of fact, I think it was you at the step at the bottom of the house. And when you first tried to stand up, you it was funny. You tried to get up, but you fell down. And then you tried it. I think the second or third time, you finally stood up. And we were just so excited watching that. And we learned to stand, and eventually we learned, well, we've learned to crawl first, obviously, and then walk and start walking, and eventually they run and all that. Same thing with talking. You know, a young baby, the only way it communicates is it cries. You know, when it hurts, it cries. When it's hungry, it cries. When the diaper's wet, it cries. It's the only way it can communicate. Eventually it starts gobbledygook and trying to make words, and eventually it says either mom or dad first, and just keeps growing. God tells us about this as newborn Christians as we go through the same thing. And this morning we're going to talk about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things." Here God's telling us what I just shared about. We as babies, we have the same thing as Christians. And we're going to look at that this morning. Number one, when we first come to Christ, we are babes in Christ. We're babies. No matter how old we are, we can't talk about the things of God in a intelligent way. We have to learn things of the Lord. We, in a sense, start crawling as babes, and we try to stand and stumble until we finally start walking as Christians. We are blessed we are babes in Christ, learning the things of God. When I was a child of God, I spake as a child of God. I understood as a child of God, and I thought as a child of God. But once we start to learn more and more about God, we start to grow and we start to mature as Christians. Point number two. Once we learn to walk as Christians, we want to walk faster, further. We want to walk without hindrance. The more we learn, the more we grow. Then after some more practice, we start to run as Christians. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. And this is an important thing for us to think about this morning. Some of us never put away childish things with the Lord. Many Christians today, they do put away childish things and they grow up. But yet, point number three, after we become adults, we then realize the only way to go is upwards. We start aiming for heaven. We do not want to move sideways any longer, but we want to go straight up. So we look up and we try to figure out how to move up with the same pace, further, faster, without any hindrance. We get tired of the problems we face each day here on earth, and we want to go to heaven. We get tired of all the body pains we go through each day as we get older. We long to be in heaven. Point number four, our natural desire would be just to be with Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said that. He would long to be in heaven, he said. Who wants to live here on earth when there's a heaven? Think about that. I don't know if you ever thought about this before. You long to get away from this type of life and be there where we have a glorified body and enjoy. Wouldn't it be great that if the moment we got saved here on earth, God would take us right up to heaven? We would accept Christ in faith on earth and immediately see him face to face in heaven. That would be something, wouldn't it? But that's not how it works. God wants to use us here on earth for a while. And in point number 5, I want us to look at that and see what God wants us to do. Here's an unusual verse in John 17:15. Christ says this. He says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from evil." You know, it's the duty of every Christian to be a testimony, to be a walking icon for God, that people would see things in our lives, that we, through our life, others may want to see or become saved. And that's what we're supposed to do. And he wants us to stay here on earth. Paul said, "I wish I could go to heaven." But he said at the same time, "I have things I need to accomplish here on earth." And that's the thing we need to do. We desire, we want to learn. His desire is for us to learn to advance from crawling to walking as Christians. Walk by faith does not come naturally. Think about that. It doesn't. I know it doesn't for me. The believer's stages of development are not easy, but are necessary. The Lord wants us to become mature, healthy, spirit-filled believers, able to continue the work that he begun. Growing up is difficult because it always involves a thing called discipline. It takes discipline to read your Bible every day and to pray every day and to come here. And it's discipline not just to be here, but to take what God gives you here and walk out and use it. Remember what it says in James? Don't be hearers of the word only, be doers of the word. We are not born physically or spiritually knowing what is right from wrong. No one's ever teaches a child to do bad. That never happens. You just let them alone and they'll go the wrong way and do what they want to do. No one ever does that. We spend a lifetime teaching our children on how to be good and responsible people. In turn, God teaches us how to live as Christians. We're babes. We're to grow. We're to learn things of the Lord and become spiritual adults, start crawling and eventually walking as Christians. And many times we need to learn through trials and errors, don't we? I know I do. But God is patient, he's long-suffering, and he guides us through his love to those hard times of discipline. God's plan for us is to grow, to be spiritual-filled Christians, that wherever you go, whether it's bike night, the A-Bait meetings, poker runs, whatever we do, that people see something different in our lives while we're there. And maybe one day they even ask you, "What is it different about your life? How come I've seen what you were and now what you are?" And here's the problem in point number 6 with a lot of Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, this is what the Lord tells us. "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual." Oh, by the way, let me give you another introduction here. I've said this to you before, but I want to kind of go over it again. The Corinthian church was a terrible church. Everything could go wrong is mentioned in Corinthians, most everything. And if you read through it, Paul is trying to correct them in all kinds of things. So every time you go to the Corinthian church, it's because something's going on. And this is part of it right here. Let me read it again. "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as spiritual, unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now he's talking to Christians here. "Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, and ye are not carnal and not walking as men." You're living the world. You're not living Christ-like. You're a Christian, but you're just not, they don't see Christ in you. God is telling us telling us that we should be growing. Some Christians never get off the baby bottle. Growth should take place each month you go by as a Christian life. When you come in here, things should change in your life. You should learn something, even if it's just a sub point, should affect each one of you. I've learned something as I was growing as a Christian that every sermon I ever listened to, I don't care how good or bad the speaker was, there was something in that sermon for me personally, God had for me. It might have been the whole sermon. It might have been a point in the sermon. It might have been a sub point. But something always got a hold of me. And I believe that it's that way with every Christian. Whether you hear it on the radio, whether you read it in Daily Bread, or whether you're in here listening to it. And the more we learn and apply, the greater we get, the closer we get to the Lord. Our lives should be changing as we're learning. If nothing is happening, something is wrong. And you need to evaluate what's going on in one's life. One needs to take that evaluation, find out what's wrong, and then fix it. We practice what we have learned, and we become mature through it. But we got to practice it. And let me tell you something. We're never going to be perfect. Okay? We're never going to be perfect. But Paul says in the epistles, run the race and run to win. You know, we just got finished doing the Olympics. Every single person that went into that Olympic and ran, whatever it was, snow skiing, whatever, even if they didn't have a chance, they went down that slope in hopes that they could win. Get a medal. And that's what Paul's saying there. You run the race as a Christian. You run to win. You may not win, but run to win. Run to be a mature Christian. God's telling us that. He's telling the Corinthians, and this is happening here. And today we have the same problem as the Corinthian church has. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You're still babes. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason, listen to this now, by reason of use have their senses exercised to determine both good and evil. Use, applying what you've learned. Using what you have learned. Exercising what you have learned is what he used here to discern both good and evil. You know what? It's been over 20 years I've been doing this. In the early years, I spent a lot of time with different Christian groups back then. And if one thing I've noticed back then, and I still see it today, is that there's too many biker groups or biker churches that don't have qualified pastors in them. There are bikers that went, I want to preach, and they get up and start preaching with no training. And what happens is they end up misleading those below them. And I'm seeing it happen today in certain churches here that are, quote, biker churches. I've seen what's happening to the people that go there and what they're doing and the type of life that they're living. And then I got to thinking, because someone actually asked me this, a biker that lives in another state. We got to talk, and I told him, I said, if you feel led to go, you need to go to school. Well, I don't need to go. Yes, you do. I said, listen, go back as far, and I said, it may go back further, but the first thing that went to my mind is Elijah. When he was ready to be taken up by God, if you pick up and you go back and read this, a bunch of prophets followed him. Not Elijah, but prophets, it talks about. They were from the school, it says. School? Oh, they were going to school back then to become preachers. In the New Testament, you see the same thing. The Apostle Paul had what equivalent to a doctor's degree. And he said, I'm the Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was well-educated before he got saved. He had a doctor's degree in the Bible, so to speak. And they knew more of the Bible than any of us know today. They learned many portions by memory of the Old Testament. and all. But you know what? With all that education, what happened to Paul after he got saved? God took him into the wilderness for 3 years and taught him. In the New Testament, through the epistles as well, it talks about who you are to hire to be a pastor. And one of the first qualifications is don't let it be a newbie. And they use the word novice. Am I pronouncing it right? Novice. It says don't put a novice in there. They're not to be teaching you. Why? Because they're babes in Christ. When they become spiritual adults, that's when they start teaching. And the problem is we got too many. I remember one guy I talked with one time, and this is a long time ago. He used to say, I don't need to worry about studying at all. Yeah, so what do you mean? He says, when I get up there, God gives me everything to say. I go, oh, brother. I said, just because they read that Moses, you know, during the time when God was telling Moses to go, Moses said, listen, I can't speak. I can't do nothing. He says, I'll tell you what to speak. And all. And they take that and misuse that verse. And all. And what's really strange about it is that when Moses went there, Aaron did the speaking. He had his brother come. God says, here, I'll bring your brother over. He'll do the speaking. When he got there, his brother only spoke one time at the beginning, and Moses took over and never stopped. And God wants us to study the scripture. I will give an account for everything I mislead anybody under me. And that's scriptural, too, and talks about that. Every pastor will give an account for misleading people one day. And it's going to be a terrible thing. I always tell people, when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be as crowded as everybody thinks it's going to be. It's going to be interesting. So we read the Bible and nothing changes. You go to church and learn the Bible and nothing happens. Why? Because you don't apply what you've learned. You got to apply it. It's not about coming here and just listening. It's about your life changing. And because many Christians do not apply what they've learned, nothing ever happens. As babes, we should be growing and becoming spiritual adults. Mature in God as a spiritual adult. That's what should be happening. It's an ongoing process that will go on the rest of your life until you die or the rapture takes place. Then you will really see God work in your life like you've never seen God work before. When I was going to Heritage, before I went to the ministry, I remember coming in many a times and going, I would see people that I got to know. And I saw God blessing them continually, all the time. They were always praising the Lord for God working. And I mean unusual things happening at all. And I said, why is that not happening in my life? And I kept evaluating and paying attention. And I learned one thing back then. They were the one doing, studying, going home, reading. And the ones that read the most, studied the most, prayed the most, doing the things that God was teaching, God was blessing the most. And doesn't he teach that in Scripture? He says the closer we get to him, the more he does for us. And you heard the term backsliding. You can be a spiritual adult doing everything right and being blessed in the Lord, and you stop, and you'll right away start backsliding. Just like eating food. If you stop eating, you will go backwards. You'll eventually die if you don't eat nothing for a period of time. You'll lose weight. They had the commercial on TV where they're showing now the fish and babies over in, I guess, Africa or whatever. You know, literally, you can see the cage and everything on them and all. Why? Because they've never been fed or they haven't had much food. That's what happens with us, and that's where the term backsliding comes. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. There's no... You reach a plateau and you manage to stay there. That doesn't happen. And that's important. You really want to see God work in your life, you just keep growing. And the closer you get, it becomes addictive. You get to the point where you're scared to go backwards. I want all the blessings I can get from the Lord. Many Christians wonder why God is not blessing them the way they see others being blessed. And the simple reason is they're not growing and becoming spiritual adults. We need to grow up and become spiritual adults in our lives. I actually believe some people in the biking world are afraid to be spiritual adults. I see this down in Daytona a lot, more than any place, maybe because there's so many people passing us in Daytona. And I've had people say, do you ever get ridiculed? I said, actually, no one's ever personally ridiculed me. But what happens a lot is, sometimes I'm sitting beside the wagon there and somebody will walk by and they'll go, hey, Joe, get the Bible. Hey, you need a Bible. Go get the Bible. And they're saying it loud enough to where I can hear it and they're joking about it. And generally, you know what I do? I stare them in the face. I do. I just stare. And then they eventually usually stop and keep going. But I get that once in a while where people do something like that. But you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to be embarrassed because of what I do. And I wonder how many biker guys or women are afraid to stand for the Lord, if you understand what I'm saying. To be that Christian in the biking world. I don't know. I had a couple come to me, and it happened to be in Daytona too, and they said, man, this is really cool what you're doing and everything. I like this. And they were professing Christians and all. They said, how can we get started? Can we join you? I said, well, you don't join me. I don't do that patch stuff and all. I said, but you can start your own thing. He said, yeah. I said, well, let me give you, for instance, what I do. And when I started going through what I did, you know what they did? They stopped and walked away. Why? Because it was work. You know what they wanted to do? Ride around. I love the Lord. Like one lady said, this was down in Anderson when they had the state rally for a hog. Down in Anderson, a girl came up to me with her husband, but she did all the talking. And she was talking about witnessing, and I was talking, trying to witness and all. And they said they knew the Lord. And she says, my patch does my witnessing for me. I don't have to talk to the Lord. I mean, talk to people. People will see the word Christ on the back of me. And you know what's really interesting? If you really read scripture and go back, God says, don't ever have anything has to do with heaven on you. It's technically, we're not supposed to literally wear crosses or anything else. We're not supposed to have anything. It says pertaining to heaven. We're not supposed to wear anything. I thought that's interesting. And nobody pushes that, but that is written in the Word. We as Christians need to tell other people. That's our job while we're here on earth. It's not where you get saved and you sit back and do nothing. But you know what? If you're just a Christian and your life has changed, most of the time you don't even have to say anything. Just being around, people see something different in you. And I've had people come up and said, man, you're different. What's with you? Oh, be glad to tell you about it. And you got that, you have this. If you need more, I've got plenty of them. And you can show how to lead someone to Christ. They'll show you there. And you can have it with you. You can open it up and go to this verse, or whatever. I got tracts. Everything I got is free. You're welcome to take them. I always keep some in my saddlebag. So when I'm going someplace or talk to somebody. But that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. So I'm going to close with two verses here I'm going to read to you. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Says this, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be adults. Now God's telling us this. Proverbs 8:32. And now, my sons, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear the instructions and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.